Take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I appreciate everybody being here this morning. I know we've got a lot of folks who are out away, but I appreciate you coming. Of course, we had some folks visiting with us, and that's good. Family members. And I think the Mannings have some family here, and that's good. And I appreciate you all being here. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 33. Matthew 12, 33. And we're going to read just about five verses here to start with. Once you keep your Bible open, we'll have several things we'll be looking at. Matthew 12, 33 says, of course, these are the words of Christ. And it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, remember, why is it that the words are going to be, we're justified by our words or we're condemned by our words? Because the words come out of the mouth, which come out of the heart, which comes out of the treasures. Let's pray. And I have one thought that I really wanted to get to today, and I'm going to hit, and my dad used to say, around Robin Hood's barn. Robin Hood lived in the woods, so he had to go around all the way to the woods. Anyway, around Robin Hood's barn to get here, but I want to kind of lead up to it so that you will understand what I'm saying. And I was going to call it this, Family Devotions or a Devoted Family. But I think I'll just ask this question. Are we devoted or are we just having devotions? Are we devoted or are we just having devotions? Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we know we are safe doing that because forever your word is settled in heaven. All of it shall be fulfilled. None of it will pass away. It's a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. It's preserved from this generation forever. There's so many verses and so many testimonies to the word. And of course, we have seen it in our own lives. And yet, Lord, if we're not careful, it sits on the table and gathers dust. And then we wonder why our lives also gathers the corruption of this world. Because we don't have the washing of the water of the Word. Lord, I want to be a blessing, encouragement. Some of this is not going to be new. Some of this is going to be a reminder. But some of this may strike us a little differently. And maybe there would be some here that would see some things for the first time. And so, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. Simple message. But usually it's the simple ones that are most profound. So, Lord, we put in your hands again, we ask for your Holy Spirit's power. I yield to you to say what you want. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. This is that time of year when many people are thinking about new beginnings. I'm not going to eat the cheesecake. I'm not going to eat the cheesecake. I'm not going to eat the cheesecake. You know, all those kind of things. We think about all the things we're not going to do. We look back at our failures and our determination to do better. And then we look at the progress and hope to continue on. And people make resolutions concerning many areas of their lives physically and socially and emotionally and spiritually. I told Janet I just wanted to preach a nice little message this morning and get finished and in good time and everyone would be happy with me. Well, that'll be seen. That's another resolution that I don't seem to do very well with. One of the resolutions many Christians make is to have a closer walk with the Lord. A closer walk personally. And I think there's, in that context, a lot of folks say, well, I want my family to have a closer walk with the Lord. Now, maybe somebody lives underneath your own roof, or maybe somebody who's outside your family. It may be a grown child that has wandered off. It could be a parent or somebody just wish you could draw to the Lord a little bit more. And of course, there's this old adage that says the family that prays together stays together. And that's good. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And we need to pray. We need to pray for one another. And I think we need to pray with one another. Excuse me. Tickle there. Often the problem why we don't pray with one another is because we're uncomfortable praying in front of one another. I believe some folks are embarrassed to admit they truly believe in the power of prayer. But he that believeth will not be ashamed, the Bible says. So I think some are afraid to pray in front of others because we're afraid the prayer will not be answered and we'll look like a fool. Actually, the very act of praying in front of others may be exactly what we need to turn. We need to turn an empty prayer into a prayer of faith, praying in front of someone else. Well, how's that? Well, we often fear that God doesn't think about us and doesn't care about our needs, and we wonder if God wants to be associated with us. The real issue is not whether God wants to be associated with us, because he was already associated with us and all of our sins on the cross. But the real issue is whether we want to be associated with him. That is often the difference between whether we pray or not and whether the prayer is answered or not. Matthew 10, just a couple chapters back from where we were, Jesus is speaking, and he says this. He says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In other words, he says, the one we really need to think about and the one who has the power is God himself. He says, "Are not two sparrows..." Now watch. He says it's the fear of God, but he goes right on to this. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows." And then it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So what's all that I'm saying? You say, in other words, you're willing to admit that you trust God. You're willing to admit that you pray, that you're following him, proves that you fear him more than you fear the faces of these other people. See what I'm saying? That's what it's saying. And so you want to see God work, well then let him work. But if you're scared to let him work, don't expect to see him work. And I think there's an awful lot of folks who live their lives in kind of a, they say we trust in word, but I'm not so sure we trust in deed. Again, faith is action based on a promise or command of God, and we can talk all the talk we want, but we're not walking a walk in our faith in him, in that we step out in faith, we're not going to see him do a whole lot. So I say that not to speak on public prayer, but more generally on a personal walk with God. A true public walk with God will blossom from a true personal walk with God. If there's a true personal walk with God, we will not be able to help but to have a true public walk with God. Now, everybody's personality is different. I know that. You know, but the early church was testifying on what they had personally experienced. Frankly, they couldn't help but talk about it. They couldn't keep their mouths shut. They were just full of it, if you want to say it, of him, that is. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with him, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For they indeed a notable miracle hath been done of them. It's manifest of all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Don't talk about Jesus. That's what they said. "And they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Well, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So we can't help it. Why? Because they had a walk with God, a real walk with God. You could say that there was a treasure in their heart. And out of the good treasure, the mouth speaks. When they were finally released from all that, they still didn't shut up. They simply prayed that they would not be scared to continue to speak. In Acts 4:29 says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they had prayed and place was shaken where they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When it's real, you're not going to be afraid to say so. I know people that will fight more over whether you drive a Chevy or a Ford than over the things of the Lord. Penn State walked all over Memphis, man. I'll tell you what, they were the weekend, didn't they? We got some Penn State fans. We ought to have some Lord fans. You could cheer for Penn State. I don't have a problem with that. You know. But we ought to be praying for the Lord. We ought to be standing up because then this doesn't. Well, I mean, by the way, you don't have to. All right, I guess I better stand up for Penn State. You know when you say that? When they're losing. Well, I guess I better stand. I did always have the Penn State fans, so I guess I better stand up for Penn State, even though they lost to Ohio. Oh my soul, man, they got worked it. No. You're a fan, you stick around, you stick with them. Same thing goes with the things of the Lord. Let me give you some things here. Some of these points are going to go real quick, but I want you to think them through with me. Number one, most resolutions, we're talking about New Year's resolutions and so forth. Most resolutions seek to change outward things about our lives. Now, I'll be honest with you, before I had all my health issues, I was really trying to do a little better, so I was cutting back on my sweet tea. I'll tell you what I think did me in was when McDonald's came out with their big, large, sweet teas. I don't know how many years that was, 5, 6, 7 years ago when they came out for $1. And then you fill that thing back up before you leave, you know. And what happened about a year ago, I found out that there's 5 times amount of sugar in that one sweet tea for your daily allotment. 5 times in your daily allotment. Of allotment in one sweet tea. And then you fill that thing up before you go on out the door. You know how it goes. And so I was trying to do better than that. So I was cutting it in half and trying not to fill it up on the way out the door. And you know, I was doing half sweet and half unsweet and all this stuff. And so I was trying to do that and so forth. But the fact is, a lot of you know, I got a new suit on here today. Yeah. I think they made it just a tad smaller than they should have. I had this one, but... It'll fit, but lost about 45 pounds. And by the way, I wanted to give you an update here. Because a lot of folks have asked. Monday, I had an appointment with Hershey Medical Center, and we got good news and bad news. The bad news is you're probably stuck with me for a while. The good news is the doctor feels like that if we keep an eye on that cancer, we can manage it. Apparently, kidney cancer is not something that chemo does a lot of good for. And so they don't do a whole lot of preemptive things. But it says it's slow growing, and it'll pop up here and there, usually in the lung. And so I got to go back every so many months, and they take my pictures and put the dye in there and see if it lights up and all this stuff, you know how that goes. And if they do, well, then they kind of go down your throat or whatever it is and That sounds like fun. And pick that thing off, kind of like a skin cancer. You know, folks who have skin cancers, they got every so often they got to get. If you don't deal with it, you're going to be in trouble. But if you just take them off as they come, be okay. So, Lord willing, I mean, anything can happen. Lord willing, that's what we're going to do. In fact, she said, because my lymph nodes had not gotten enlarged, and there was nothing lit up when they took the test before the operation, even though they found some seeds in my lymph nodes after the operation, she said, I would say that you're cancer-free because they're precancerous, they're not cancer, but, you know, eat well. Back to New Year's resolutions again. I will have you know I ate asparagus the other day. It was Christmas, no less. And there it was. And it looked young and tender and all seasoned up. And I thought, it still tasted like asparagus. But it was about as good as it gets. Resolutions. Sometimes we feel like, well, we're too fat, or we're too lazy, or we're too mean, or we're too quick-tempered, and we want to change the outside. But the fact is, though most resolutions seek to change things on the outside, if we're going to change the outside, we have to change the inside. I can put all kinds of creams and stuff and all this stuff, but that's not going to take care of that cancer. Things have to be done on the inside. And they're telling me I'm going to have to, you know, eat better and stay off of other junk. And if I do that, actually my body will probably fight most of this off. So number one, the most things we want to change are on the outside. We have to change the inside to change the outside. Number two, second statement. That which is in the heart comes out. Now, I know you know this, but that which is in the heart comes out. We know what's in our hearts by what comes out of our hearts. Now, in our passage in Luke 6, it's a parallel passage. Luke 6:43 says this, in the words of Jesus, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit." Kind of says it the opposite of the way that Matthew did. "Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Now we use that word evil, but that word simply means good for nothing. You don't have to be Scrooge or the Grinch. We can have evil. Evil is really the lack of good. I make this statement, listen to it. Ready? Lies don't lie. You say, what? Lies don't lie. Let me explain. When lies come out of our mouth, it is because lies just came out of the heart. And that's the truth. When lies come out of the mouth, it's because the lie came out of the heart. And it's telling on us. And it's telling us the truth. It's telling us what's in our heart. In our passage, again, Jesus said, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt," verse 33. "For the tree is known by his fruit." He says, "Old generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? How can you have worthlessness in your heart, not have good in your heart, and expect to have good come out of your heart?" Oh, we can make it sound good. We can even speak flattering words. But it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You say, well, I misspoke. Where did it come from? Well, it came out of my mouth. Where did that come from? Well, out of my heart. So why are we judged by every idle word that just came falling? Listen, have you ever said something, go, oh, I wish we could catch that and bring it back in? Man, that one got away from me. I know I have. And we say, well, it was just a little, I just wasn't thinking. You know what it was? You weren't watching the door and what was coming out of your heart. Watch. Just because we know how to watch the door and not let anything slip out doesn't mean that what's in there is good. I was visiting a nice couple that visited with us on Christmas Eve yesterday. And I just drove up to the house, and I didn't realize who it was. He was down the street there. He was taking a walk. It was so beautiful yesterday. He turned around. He saw my car and saw the lighthouse tag on the front of my car. And he turned around, came back, said, hey, well, come on in. He said, you don't mind animals, do you? I said, no, I'll be fine. I don't like animals. But I'll be fine. I lied. I did. I lied. Anyway, he said, really, I'm fine. It's not my favorite. But anyway, he said, no, we got to come in quick because they'll get out. You pop that little door, it'll slip out. So he watches that door so these little hairy balls won't go flying out the door. And he did. And of course, we got in there, and they just, man, they were all over me, which is okay. I'm all right. I'm okay. But anyway, that's the way it is with things out of our heart. You see, just because we know how to crack that door and let out what we think is prim and proper doesn't mean that what's in our heart. Because you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come in there and leave the door open. Somebody's going to push that door open on you. And all of a sudden, stuff's going to come flying out all over us that we didn't know was in there. So resolutions want to change the outside, but usually what's on the inside needs to be changed to fix the outside. And what's on the inside comes out. Number three, to have good things come out of our heart, our heart must be filled with good things. These are simple statements, but we don't live this way. If you want good things to come out of your heart, your heart's got to be full of good things, because out of your heart the mouth speaketh. If you want good things to come out, you got to have good things in there. If you don't have good things, you got worthless things in there, or you don't have any good things in there, there's nothing there but worthlessness, that's what's going to come out. That's why it wasn't the last few weeks here. We were talking about, so think on these things out of Philippians. Think on these things. Virtue. That's why 2 Peter says, add to your faith, giving all diligence to add to your faith, virtue and knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, pray, patience, so forth. Listen, if what we produce, watch me now, is from the treasure that's in our heart, that in order to produce good things, we must be filled with good treasures. What do you treasure? What are your treasures? We think if I get it, then I have a treasure. No, we may have treasured it before we ever got it. We need to treasure the things of God. What do you value? Again, Jesus was talking in Matthew 6. He says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know what he's saying? Do you treasure the outward resolution? Or are we going to let things change on the inside and the outward will take care of itself? My son, Sterling III, it's been probably, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and he decided he was going to lose weight. It's been that long? Probably has been. And I don't think he'd mind me telling you this. He was built like the rest of us Walshes. But you know a fellow's on the level when his bubble's in the middle. But he was built like the rest of us, and he was well up there toward 300 pounds. And he just decided he was going to lose weight. And he just decided, he figured out, well, how much do you put in? This is what you get. And so he lost over 100 pounds. And, of course, now he's all buff and all this stuff. I'm the old man, so I always bring him over to do all the heavy lifting now. But anyway, he told me this, and this is true. Now, he doesn't do this, but this is what he said. He says, 3,500 calories is a pound. You eat 3,500 calories, and it's a pound of weight. You get rid of 3,500 pounds, and you will be a pound lighter than you would have been. So he said, I just decided how much I wanted to lose, and how he's so mathematical. That's why he's a computer software writer now. They got a new job, and he's all through. But anyway, he's got that kind of mind. So I just decided how fast I want to lose my weight, how much I needed, and how I was going to get mine. So I just counted it out, and that's what he did. And so he just made sure. Now he said, the fact is this. This is true. He said, well, Dad, he said, be honest with you, there's so many calories, and if you only eat so many calories, you will lose weight. Now, the fact is, really, you could say, well, you could eat this and eat this, and you ought to eat this, and that's all true. But the fact is, if you only eat 2,500 calories a day, and they're all cookies, you will still lose weight at 1,000 calories a day. You just will. So he says, oh, I can knock that much off there. Now, that's not good for you, but you could. Now, it did get my attention. It started to look a whole lot more promising than it did before. But, you know, some people, that's what we do spiritually. You know, we want to look spiritual on the outside. He says, when you fast, it'll come up, well, I'll tell you what, I've been very good today. I've been fasting for 3 days. This is tough stuff. He said, don't do that. He said, wash your face, comb your hair, put your clothes on. No one needs to know what's going on the inside, because that's really what fasting is all about, our relationship with the Lord. He said, don't make a big, don't try, they don't need to know that. In fact, you do it in secret and God will reward you openly. You know what that means? What's on the inside is going to show up on the outside. And we get another statement with this. This is not number 4, but it goes along with this. To have good things come out of our heart must be filled with good things. And I said, we need to treasure the things of God. We have, by the way, religion is earthly treasure. We can all look good religiously on the outside. Pure religion is when we do it on the inside and let God reward us openly. Now, go along with that. Your heart reveals your treasure. Your heart will reveal your treasure. He says, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, this has been Matthew 6:17, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth, and we're talking about capital F Father, or Heavenly Father, which seeth in secret, which shall reward thee openly. And it goes on, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. See? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. We think of tangible things. In the context here, you know what we're treasuring? Somebody patting me on the back. So I'm looking good in front of everybody. I've done my outward thing. I'm not as embarrassed of who I am. I can make it look good on the outside. He says, lay up not treasure for on earth. But lay up for yourselves, verse 20, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We think we've got a heart and we're going to make treasures. No. We have treasures, and that's what we're filling our heart with. You follow what I'm saying? What is it that you're treasuring? Do you treasure to have a walk with God, or do you treasure to be seen well before men? That's his question. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What's in my heart? What I'm treasuring. Where my heart is treasuring, that's where my heart is. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the heart is not going to lie. I mean, in other words, we try to lie, don't get me wrong, but it's going to come out. It's going to reveal what we have. Now, I've gone through all this because a thought came to me the other day that I wanted to address. And I just want to be encouragement to you here. There are many folks who want to get closer to the Lord and feel this is a good time to start. And it is. Of course, any time is a good time to start getting closer to the Lord. So if you mess up, by the way, if you decide to read your Bible and you miss a couple days, pick up where you left off and go on. Well, I blew it. I didn't do it. So I'll wait till next year and start. Now, go for that. Don't even go there. One of the things I tell folks to do when they're reading their Bible is to read the book of Proverbs. And there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And there's an average of 31 days in most months. And so today is the 29th, so I would read Proverbs 29. Well, what if I miss a day? You'll be back next month. I'll be honest with you. I think so many people say, well, if I didn't do it all perfect, can't go do it all, and he's given up on me. Maybe that's the way you are. That's not the way he is. He's a God of first and second and third and fourth and fifth chances. And otherwise, he wouldn't need, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just forgive me of sins and cleanse me all unrighteousness. He wouldn't need to put that verse in there if he didn't know that we were to mess up. Now, there are things we want to do. But Deuteronomy 10:12 says this, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, there's the heart again, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For what shall bring every work into judgment with every secret? But God shall bring every work to judgment with every secret thing. That's what's in the heart, whether it be good or whether it be evil, worthless. Micah 6:8 said, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy God. That's what God wants. A heart that simply has a walk with him. You say, well, if I look good with outside of everybody else, that's going to do the job. It's not going to do the job. It's not going to. Listen, when things go bad, please don't take this wrong. And maybe, I don't know why, but I told you the other day when that doctor came into me when I was down here at York Hospital, and they were every time the door opened up, another group of people came in there. I couldn't believe, oh my soul, another group. But anyway, one day this lady comes in here, and she's talking about this and that. Says, now, concerning your cancer, I hadn't heard that word yet. And here it came blurting out. And I'd be honest with you, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Lord, because the Lord gives you grace at the right time. I was telling Jack out here this morning on the way in. I expected, be honest with you, if that would have hit me, have you ever felt like somebody just told you something, just hit you in the stomach, like you got a gut punch? It was kind of like, okay. What do we do? Now, I'm not ready to go in the next load. And I'm not so super Superman. All I'm saying is that, be honest with you, if all these things are true and you're walking with Him and you've got your hand in His hand, when those things truly do come, and they do come, it's okay. It's not what I want. There was about a week and a half here, I didn't know whether I was going to make it to Thanksgiving. I'll be honest with you, I was kind of wondering what it was going to be like to celebrate Thanksgiving in heaven. Because they taught, now not that I looked all that bad, I looked great, but they said, if we do the operation, it's a good on the kidney, it's a good chance your heart's not going to work. I'm not going to be able to handle it, and you'll be gone. You won't make it off the table. It was kind of on like a 50-50 shot at it, maybe a little less. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is, we need a walk with God. Now, in order to have a good, in order for our heart to produce good things, we have to have a good heart. In order to have good heart full of good things, our heart must be full of good treasure. And in order for our heart to be full of good treasure, our heart must be full of the Lord. It must be full of God and God's Word. Matthew 19:16 says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. For thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith, Which? Well, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And he said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." You know what he's saying? You got a side that you don't need anything but Him. Then your treasure's in heaven. Now, God doesn't call for us to all go out and give everything we have to the poor. But what He is saying is, if I asked you to, really did ask you to, would you do it? Do I have your heart? That was His question. But the young man heard that saying, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, verse 23, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter."